Good evening. I don't really need to use this at all, do I? But I quite like it. I quite like it. It separates me from you, which is quite... No, I'm joking. Yeah, again, light on numbers tonight, and that's okay. Gareth reminded me of that passage, Matthew 18:20, that says, when two or three are gathered in my name, I shall be among them. And that's how it is tonight. We don't have a band. Once again, I think it's important to say this isn't becoming a habit. We just, unfortunately, it's just one of those random events where everyone is just unavailable, unfortunately. So we're going to go. I think we've got some songs queued up for the first set, just to kind of get us in the mood. PJ's going to deliver the message tonight, and then we're going to go into a couple of ministry songs and kind of see if God, the Spirit, is placing any songs on your heart as well during that time. Work through that, and yeah. And whatever happens, we're hopefully just going to encounter the love of God and encounter the Spirit moving within us. Whatever. We don't need 1,000 people. We don't need a big band. All we have to do is just kind of welcome God into this place and open our hearts to what he might be doing. So let's do that, shall we? God, we just want to pray the oldest prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit. Help us to know your presence tonight. Help us to know your peace, your love, your perseverance and strength. Help us to authentically praise you. And may we tonight welcome you into this place and feel you move within our lives. Amen.
Out on me, your love never fails, it never gives up, never. baptized us afresh tonight.
The King of my heart, be the mountain where I run, the fountain I'll drink from, always my song. And let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, always my song. Yes, you are. You're good. Oh, you are good. You're good.
Okay, up to the dais.
Thanks.
Part of it. And yeah, I'll just pray
for
you.
I'm going
to pray for you, and then we'll let you crack on.
Thanks.
Yeah, God, we just pray an anointing and a blessing over PJ now as they deliver our message tonight. May the words ring true with us, and may it help us to once again be challenged, energized, renewed in some way, and encounter something more of you tonight. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to start by asking something of you. I think it would be nice if everyone just moved around Morgan. It feels a bit weird being so few of us in such a huge space. So I know you're all very comfortable now, but look at me. He looks so lonely, bless him. So like these first couple of rows, and then we can all just, you know. Sorry. You could swap the chairs around if you really, you know, hated it that much. This feels nicer to me. And Tim's handing out sweets as well. No, I'm all right, thanks. Fab. Yeah, I wonder what year is in Wine Gums. Fab, so, how are we all today? Yeah, good, we're all right? How are you feeling?
Good.
Okay, but like, really, how are you feeling? Sleepy. Yeah, me too. Yeah. How does your body feel at the moment? Yeah. How does your mind feel? How do your senses feel? Weird question. Like, is what you're seeing now around you, excluding me, okay? Or is there something that's like fatiguing your eyes or something you weren't quite aware of to begin with? No? Can you still taste lunch? Can you taste the coffee you maybe had to wake yourself up before you came to this service? Sarah's on it already. She came prepared.
I can still taste it.
You can taste wine gums. In the gaps between what I'm saying, is what you're hearing sitting comfortably with you, or is there something that actually, now you think about it, is bugging you about what you can hear? Can hear, yeah, the yeah. I don't know about you, I'm really bad at checking in with myself and about, kind of checking in on how I'm actually doing. I tend to just blitz through life. You know, I'm only really ever aware of what I'm feeling if it sort of metaphorically slaps me in the face, because it's that obvious that you can't ignore it. I never really take the space to have a quick, like, mental MOT to see how I'm actually doing on any day-to-day. You know, what we actually think about what's going on around us, rather than just that kind of surface stuff that you can't help but avoid. For me, that means I have this bad habit of laying down to go to sleep at night, and suddenly that's the most space I've had in the day to think about, or the only space where there's nothing else I'm supposed to be doing. And so it all just, the whole day suddenly gets processed in that space. And instead of sleeping, I end up just thinking about all of that. And I've started taking notes now on my phone just to get things out of the head so that they're not then just weighing on you and you have to think it all through then so you don't sleep, you know. And I think the reason, for me, the reason why this happens is obvious. It's because taking precious time out of your day to just sit and kind of do nothing without any real end goal, without something that you can show for it at the end, is unproductive. Or at least it appears unproductive. You know, if you were, say, doing a timesheet of your day to your boss and you put thinking time in for an hour, then that probably wouldn't go down so well. But I reckon, you know, us all sitting here now, we'd probably all go, yeah, actually taking time to check in on yourself is a good thing to do. Actually, it is a productive thing to do. But again, in life, when you've got that long to-do list of things, that is the one thing that is just going to get pushed further and further down until you just don't do it and until you've gone days and days without doing it. And it's not just that either. I think this kind of self-reflection, I'm kind of going to use the two terms of self-reflection and meditation as one, I think. For me, they're similar. Meditation is more broad, maybe, but I'm going to use them interchangeably. So I think self-reflection and meditation have become more of like an in thing nowadays. But I also feel that means I've seen a rise in people arguing against it, because that always happens. As one thing gets more popular, you also get the people that don't like it having to be louder as well. And I see a bit of it in the Christian world as well, of people kind of arguing against meditation. I think meditation is probably a word that some people have a problem with. You know, some people say that when you are meditating, you are focusing on yourself and you are not focusing on God, and therefore that's selfish. Or they have a problem with it maybe borrowing from other religious practices like Buddhism and things like that. Not that I'm here to particularly refute those points in particular, but like, you know, Christianity grew out of another religion itself in the form of Judaism, so we can't exactly say that we've got all the best religious practices around and all the others are just garbage. And I reckon, you know, if the Buddhists have a method that we can use ourselves to connect with our God, great, let's use it, you know, if it helps us and it is not damaging. And secondly, when people say it's selfish, I think that a bit of self-reflection is actually one of the best things you can do to bless other people around you. I don't know about you, some of my, pick my words carefully, least favourite people in life are the ones that just have no self-awareness whatsoever. Mainly because it either ends up with kind of two ends of a scale. It either ends up with somebody who's really sort of egocentric and just, you know, focused on themselves, but not in the kind of deep connected way, but in a very sort of superficial way. Or they are just the sort of most boring beige people you will ever meet, you know? And I don't want to be either of those things. Because I think, like, I was talking about that checklist of things before. Any old, like, robot could replace us and do our day-to-day tasks. But there is something about us properly reflecting on ourselves and what makes us ourselves and our God-given identity that makes us us. You know, there's a lot. I move in a lot of same circles as people. It's like me and Morgan, we do some of the same stuff. You know, local preaching and all that kind of stuff. And so we might, if we were just two robots doing those jobs, we'd effectively be the same person, except we're not. We're aware and we're a little bit more self-connected. So we do those things in our way. And of course, we do have a connection to something of ourselves all the time. You know, it's not like we can actually switch off from who we are. But the way things affect and change us long term are mostly they only come through exploring those situations deeper and with more of an intentionality, i.e. self-reflection. So like at the start, when I asked you the first time if you were all right, and the general murmur of, yeah, Yeah. And then the second time I asked, we started getting some answers, you know, because that first time you were yourself, but you weren't thinking of yourself. But the second time you went, actually, no, how am I feeling? I'm genuinely being asked now, how am I feeling? How does my body feel? How does my mind feel? So when I ask you if you're all right, yes, your surface answer might be yes. But then when you think about it, when you explore yourself and your feelings, that answer might actually turn into a yes, but, or a maybe, or a, actually, now you mention it, no, I'm not all right. But then also, meditation for me as a Christian holds something even more sacred, because as Christians, we don't necessarily believe that we are entirely our, again, this is needs to be careful wording, entirely ourselves, entirely just us. Colossians 1, verse 27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Timothy 1:14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? The Bible repeatedly says that God is in us. God is part of our self. That when God makes us, he instills a bit of himself in us. That we are made in his image. So I wonder if there's some part of self-reflection, even though it is called self-reflection, that is in fact about connecting with God. One of those key qualities of God is that he connects with us. And that if that didn't happen, you know, that's one of the key parts of Christianity. If you don't have that two-way connection of God in us and us in God, then Christianity is not the same. And I think what that looks like, what you sort of picture that part of God in you, differs according to your theology. I think of it as sort of a twofold thing. So I think of it as we can see qualities of God in ourselves, and we can see the ideas and the sort of machinations of God in ourselves. Sometimes I think it's good to just look at us and say, or look at me, you, and say, hey, actually, right now, I'm really feeling a connection with these aspects of God's character. So you might say, oh, I'm really feeling a sense of God's love right now, or God's justice. There's something really, a burning issue of justice that's on my heart. I feel like that's from God. Or goodness, God's goodness. I'm really feeling that right now. And we will find those aspects of God within ourselves, within our thoughts, and within our actions. And I think what would be really interesting, actually, is if we do that regularly and actually put it into those words, we would see that those qualities of God in us change. Pretty much every time we would do that, we'd find, oh, actually, no, I'm feeling a little bit less of God's love recently. And you may find that you may find that this sentence that I've written makes no sense. No, who knows what that was supposed to say? I think what I was trying to say is, based on what I was just saying, yeah, you might go, oh, actually, I'm not feeling so much of God's love right now. Why is that? Why am I not feeling that? But you wouldn't discover that unless you took that time to reflect on yourself and the qualities of God that you see in yourself. I had an interesting conversation yesterday. I did debate about telling this story, and I do what I do sometimes. I put it in asterisks in here for decide whether you're doing this paragraph at the time or not, based on who's in the room. So I think you could draw some negative connotations about Christianity from this, but I don't think anyone here will, so I'm going to say it anyway. So I was working at a psychotherapy conference yesterday, and I was chatting with one of the counsellors that was there over lunch. It was a very nice lunch. And they said, and they said this in entirely anonymous terms, so it's not breaching anyone's trust or anything, that one of their clients was both a Christian and suffered from schizophrenia. So heard voices in their head. Well, that was how their version of schizophrenia manifests itself. I'm sure there's loads. And they said that a lot of the work they'd done with their client was about them working out which of these thoughts in my head are me, which of them are God, and which of them are these other voices. And you can probably guess, based on the topic of this, guess what the solution that they came up with was? It was time of meditation. They, together, and it was really interesting because this counsellor turned out not to be a Christian themselves, but they were really sort of supporting this person in working out how to talk to God. So they together came to the conclusion that the thoughts that were something else, one of these other voices, a result of the schizophrenia, were so haphazard that they wouldn't be the same thought when they tried to recall them. They'd have it in the moment, but it would be that sort of fleeting flash sort of thing. They found that their own thoughts didn't really get lodged in their long-term memory too much because the brain thought it could just recall it again later, so it didn't need to keep hold of it. But the thoughts that they identified were from God got lodged in the long-term memory because the brain didn't want to lose them. And so that's how they went through that, and they separated that out those ideas. So by meditating and reflecting on those ideas, i.e. by not just taking it in the short term and their immediate reaction to these voices in their head, whether it was them, God, or these other voices, but by actually going back and deeply and intently thinking about these things later, they could discern which was which. I honestly could have talked to that counsellor for ages on it because I thought it was really interesting, but lunch has ended and I needed to top up my cheese plate before the next session. So, but I think it is something that we can apply to. I think discerning God's voice is, or discerning ideas of God, what God has given us, is sort of one of the constant issues of being a Christian. And I think it's something we can apply, that by meditating we can identify the thoughts inside us that might be God, or rather God inspired, and then take those into the world with us. So, not to do just words, let's, if you're willing to go along with me, put some practice behind this. To start off our next sort of block of worship, I thought we'd just go into a time of some self-reflection, some meditation. So I will guide this, but if you want to just take the time to switch off, please do. Just don't listen to me. There'll be a song in the background Morgan's going to play. There will be words on screen. So if you want to just follow the words, you can, or you can just switch off. And I am going to use visual imagery because that works for me. But again, if it doesn't work for you, just listen to the sort of questions I'm posing and just progress through those as you need to. So everyone just find a comfortable seat for the next few minutes. Hopefully yours has warmed up, Sarah. Great, wonderful. Morgan, go ahead and play that song when you're ready. Find that comfortable sitting position, and you may just want to close your eyes or cover your eyes as you feel comfortable to help you focus. And firstly, we'll come back to some of those questions that I asked towards the start. So identify, how do you feel in your body? What can you feel right now? What can you hear? And if you feel like there's a particular thought that's trying to make its way into your head as you try and think about other things, maybe try and just work out, what is that thought? What is that thought? And a bit like me making a note of it before going to bed, name that thought and then just store it in the back of your head, knowing that you can come back to it later. Let's imagine that we are going into our brain. And of course by that I don't mean the squishy fleshy thing that is inside our bodies. Let's imagine that we are going into where all of our thoughts and our feelings are stored. In fact, let's all picture our brains like an art gallery. Let's imagine you are in the foyer of an art gallery. And you know that somewhere in this gallery, God is working, God is hanging out. So let's go looking for God. So imagine we're in this main hall of this gallery, and there's lots of little spaces off to the side, lots of little exhibition halls you could go into. And there's one off to your left. And as you go into that exhibition room, you find that it contains pictures and movies of everything that you've seen and heard today. What are the things that stand out to you? What are the pictures that stand out to you? What are the sentences that come to your mind from the movies you're watching, of the conversations you've had today? And what's the overall feeling of this space for you? How does today feel? And in the corner of this particular room are your contributions to this gallery. The things that you have said and done today. Have a look at those. Where can you see God in what you have said and done today? What aspects of God can you see in those things? Maybe it was in the conversations that you had with someone. And you are allowed to have a bit of pride here and maybe say, actually, do you know what? I feel like I did bless someone with that conversation and I feel like that was God. And if it helps, if today has not been too eventful for you and you want to widen the scope to a week, whatever, go for it. And just off from this room, there's a little workshop. There's a little, let's say, painter's studio. And here are your thoughts from today. And all of these are just works in progress. None of them are finished. They're all at sort of different stages. Some are just half formed, half painted. Some of them are a bit blurry. Some of them, we'll be honest, are just a bit rubbish. But in which of these thoughts, the big predominant thoughts, which ones are a bit more clear for you? where do you see God in those thoughts? And once you've done that, let's go back into that main hall, into the sort of foyer area, where there's another room off of that, and you can see that this exhibition is labelled Tomorrow, which is not yet filled with work. There's a bunch of space on the walls, but it is filled with the people that you know and the people that you will see and you will interact with in the near future. And you see that they're all working on their own bits of art. And you know that some of these people, and identify them as you think about them, some of these people are also looking for God in this gallery. How can you use what you already know of God, and maybe what is of God in you, to help them find God? Now let's head back again to that main gallery space, into the foyer. And you see there is one more exhibition room that you want to go into. This one is, this exhibition is just titled with your name. And you go in there, because of course you would. And you find one person working away, and you don't know how, but you know that this person working on the exhibition that is you is God. And God is working away, making a huge piece of art in your head. It's maybe a painting on a huge canvas, or it's a sculpture with lots of parts that takes up the whole room. And you know that this huge piece of art represents the biggest things that God is working on in your head and in your life right now. What does that piece of art look like? What are its key features? Is it nearly finished? Is it just beginning? Is it maybe somewhere in the middle? And if it is nearly finished, you can see that God has got some more art supplies off in the corner and is about to start a new piece of art. And now, having found where God is working, in your gallery, in your mind, in yourself. We'll go back once again to that foyer space, but before you leave, let's have a think. Is there anything you want to take a second look at? Maybe one of those experiences from today or from this week, or one of the half-finished thoughts, or maybe you want to help another person create their art, or maybe you want another glimpse of what God is working on in you. So if there's something you want to look at again, just go back through the gallery, find that place, and take another look. Stay there as long as you want. When you are done in the gallery, and there's no rush whatsoever if you want to stay there past when we start doing sung worship again, but when you are done, just go back to the foyer. And there's one last set of doors, and you know that this is where you enter and exit this gallery. And the key thing you know is that these doors are never locked, so you can come back whenever you want to. But when you're ready, and only when you're ready, head through those doors. Find yourself reconnecting with your body again. And then again, when you're ready, doesn't have to be now, slowly reopen your eyes and gather yourself back in this room as we move on with our worship.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. But every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Nothing else before a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my stress wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is your heart. You get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise.
King of kings, majesty, Lord of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, my strong deliverer, beginning and end. Now all within me falls at your throne, your majesty. I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal you.